Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 27, again. Desa kalarta yuktani pitapopa samanicha haranti smaratas chitam govinda bihitani me. Now I am attached to those instructions imparted to me. I'll just read it. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So we read this yesterday, but today we're going to go over it point by point. First of all, in the translation itself, Arjuna expresses the genuine, let's say, duty of a devotee, that a devotee, first of all, was attracted to the instructions given by the spiritual master. In Arjuna's case, Lord Krishna, the supreme original spiritual master. And therefore, one continues associating with the spiritual master by remembering and following his instructions. This is the desire of every spiritual master, that the disciple will always remember and follow the instructions that are given for their upliftment. And Arjuna says that these instructions are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart of all circumstances of time and space. So that is a fact, that we are all troubled by our existence in the material world, but by remaining faithful to the instructions given to us by bona fide spiritual masters, that burning heart is relieved in all time and space, in all places, and in all time. So, in the purport, Prabhupada says, herein Arjuna refers to the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, because he received not the Srimad Bhagavatam, but he received the Bhagavad Gita. He engaged in asking Krishna questions, and Krishna answered his questions, and that became the Bhagavad Gita, the sacred song of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which was imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but also for all time and in all lands. So that means Bhagavad Gita is the absolute truth, because it's true in all places and in all time. Therefore, it is real science. It's not subject to change or alteration. There are no mistakes in it. It's true for all time and all places. The Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. So there's knowledge, and then there's wisdom. What is the difference? Wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge in any circumstance by which one needs to overcome. So in the material world, there are many obstacles that we have to overcome. But if we're armed with the wisdom of Bhagavad Gita, then we can overcome all those difficulties. So that's the difference in wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is something theoretical. Wisdom is the practical use of it in different situations. It is nicely presented by the Lord himself for all who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Vedanta Sutras. Well, yes, we don't have much time. We have so many duties that we have to perform. So Bhagavad Gita is relatively a short book. It's only 700 verses. The Srimad Bhagavatam is 18,000. So how are you going to read 18,000 verses and purports? It's very difficult. But it is possible to read the 700 verses and purports of the Bhagavad Gita and the purports by Srila Prabhupada. It is put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata, which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women, the laborers who are men, and those who are worthless descendants of Brahmanas, also referring to men. Kshatriyas, that's referring to men, and higher sections of the Vaishnas, which is also referring to men. So the men outpace the women here. You have 1, 2, 3, 4 references to men and only one reference to women. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. What was his problem? He got paralyzed. He couldn't perform his duty that he's obliged to do because it's his dharma. It's his occupational duty to be a kshatriya and protect the principles of religion from adharma. But he was not able to do it. And he was refusing to follow the order of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, in previous sentence when it says that Mahabharata was written especially for the less intelligent class of people. However, Bhagavad Gita is meant for the leaders of society. So, embedded in that great epic poem, the Mahabharata, which has doesn't have 18,000 verses, it has 120,000 verses. It's huge. But embedded in it is a very short part, which is called the Bhagavad Gita, which has the essence of all knowledge in 700 verses. That's why it's easy to get lost in the Vedas, because there's so much text, so much stories and things, it's just overwhelming, and people get lost, and they lose the thread that holds it all together, that is Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's just like finding a needle in a haystack or a diamond in a cave. Therefore, you can see what Prabhupada did. He extracted Bhagavad Gita and translated it and gave purports of the acharyas and himself. And also, he gave the Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the two most important books in the Vedic literature. Again, after the problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. So here we see Bhagavad Gita is the solution to all problems. And especially the most disturbing problems, when one may be embarrassed in some critical time. So, you don't need to read any other book. Simply Bhagavad Gita and its expansion, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. And you'll have answer to every question of life and to every problem that you have to overcome. That's why great devotees simply read and reread and discuss and elaborate Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no need for any other scripture. As we recite every day, what is the need of any other scripture? The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to material eyesight. Well, that's the point. Krishna's words and Krishna himself are non-different. So, fortunately, due to the pure parampara of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, we have the original words of Krishna spoken to Arjuna. So when you read Bhagavad Gita as it is, you're hearing exactly what Krishna spoke to Arjuna without any adulteration, subtraction, or addition. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. So he's talking about the deity form, and he's talking about Bhagavad Gita, which is written on paper, and there's ink, and there's string, and there's glue. However, it's has the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead intact. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita, or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord, is also the incarnation of the Lord. There's no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and the Lord himself. One can derive the same benefit from the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. So this is amazing statement, and it's true. And the fact that Prabhupada chose Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam as his main focus is because he understands how Krishna has revealed himself in this world. And Krishna is Partha Sarathi, the driver of the chariot, is the highest form of the Lord that should be for our meditation. And in that way, the intricacies of Bhagavad Gita will be revealed to us through offering service, chanting, and regularly hearing and discussing Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so we'll stop right there because it's a long purport. Are there any questions on what we've read so far?
Why is Bhagavad Gita, what does it mean, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the wisdom? Why is the essence, what is the essence there in Bhagavad Gita?
Sarvadharmam parityaja mamikam saranam braja ham tvam sarvapapipyo muksisyami masuchaha. Krishna tells Arjuna, just give up all your fabricated dharmas, Christian Dharma, Muslim Dharma, Jain Dharma, Sikh Dharma, Hindu Dharma, just give it up, give them all up, and surrender unto me. And if you do this, how do you surrender? Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru mam evaisisi satyam te pratijani priyosame. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. If you do this, I promise you that you become very dear to me and you will come back to me, right? So, and if you surrender to the Lord, then he says he'll free you from all previous karma so that there's no obstacle for you to be engaged in devotional service, and therefore you have nothing to hesitate for, nothing to fear, nothing to doubt, and just surrender. So this is the ultimate message. This is the way to go out of the material world. Surrender to Krishna. and you go back to Godhead. You're already back to Godhead when you surrender, because you surrender through devotional service and following the instructions of bona fide gurus. So there's no difference between devotional service in this world and devotional service in the spiritual world. Because whether it's this world or the spiritual world, it's directed toward pleasing Krishna. Samsthir Haritoshana. So that is the essence of all wisdom. It can solve all problems. And the process of surrender, anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, like raksisyai titi visvaso guptritre varanam tata atmanikshepa karpanya sadvida saranagati. So this saranagati, this surrender to the Lord, is explained. Always accept everything favorable for the Lord, reject everything unfavorable, accept Krishna as your only protector. You don't need anyone else protecting you. And don't have any other interest in life other than serving the Lord, and accept everything that happens as the mercy of the Lord, and remain always humble and meek in the execution of devotional service. So this is the process of surrender, or saranagati. So you see that verse 1866 is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. By the way, Ramanujacharya chose that as one of his main verses. He chose three verses, two of them are from Bhagavad Gita. Ananya chintayantamam ye janasaparyasate. Ananya chintayantamam ye janasaparyasate. Nityam, what is it? Okay. Yoga shemam vaham yaham. Those two verses were chosen by Ramanujacharya, and then there's a third one also that's not from Bhagavad Gita. But he chose two of those verses as the most important, three verses as most important, and two of them from Bhagavad Gita. It just shows how important the Bhagavad Gita. Nitya yukta upasana. So this is the essence. That's why it says Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all knowledge. Any other questions? Tesam nitya biyuktanam yogashemam raham yam. That's right. Anybody else?
The end of this paragraph, it is said that, Arjuna, remember the great teaching. That means Arjuna, at a certain point, he forgot his teaching, and then later on remembered again, or?
Well, when you become bewildered by Maya, you forget, right? So he got bewildered because of his family attachment. So by hearing Bhagavad Gita, he became aware again of what is the essence of all Vedic wisdom, Sharanam, or Saranagati. Right? When we become panicked due to attachments and we can't perform our duty, our occupational duty, which is devotional service, we forget. We get confused. We get paralyzed. So Arjuna had, what's in modern terms referred to as a panic attack. He was not able to think straight.
The last point is that the Bhagavad Gita just to he remembered the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times. Okay, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way of great entanglement which may embarrass one in some critical hours.
So, it's referring here to Gandhi. Gandhi, if you read the Gandhi's statement about Bhagavad Gita, should be in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Let's see if it's in the front. It should be on the cover. Anyway, Gandhi said that whenever he's disturbed by life, he opens the Bhagavad Gita and finds solace, right? But Prabhupada's point is, it's not only to relieve yourself of anxiety and fear and doubt, but it's also the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. So there are many situations like that. And by referring to Bhagavad Gita, one can solve even those problems that seem unsolvable. Right? So, therefore, and Bhagavad Gita explains here, if you look at the 12th chapter, 12th and 13th verse, he explains, Advaishtasarva Bhutanam Maitra Karana Evacha Nirmamo Nirahankara Samadukur Sukham Shami Santusta Satatam Yogi Yatatma Dritanishchaya Mayapitamano Buddhir Yomad Bhakta Same Priya. So this is a verse that can help a person exactly what it says here to be a way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. So this verse says, one who is not envious but a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego. Well, most people get into arguments about property. This belongs to me. Why did you take it? I loaned you some money. Why didn't you pay me back? You cheated me in a deal where I expected to make more money. You know, so people kill each other for those reasons. But here it's saying, one should not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego. So one person can say, well, I'm a white Christian, you know, something like that, and you're not equal to me because of some bodily difference, you see. So people kill each other for reasons like that. So, therefore, who is equal in both happiness and distress, in other words, not disturbed, not elated when there's happiness and not disturbed when there's distress, who is tolerant. So you have to tolerate so many things in life. If you don't tolerate things, why do you think there's road rage? Because somebody you don't know, you've never met in your life, but they seem to cut you off while you were driving on the highway. So you get really upset and you start chasing after that person. And then you both stop and you get out and you shoot that person and kill him. It happens all the time. You see? So it's tolerant. Always satisfied. Doesn't matter whether you have a lot or little. Be satisfied by using it in Krishna's service. Self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Now, Arjuna was not in that state of mind in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, but in the end of Bhagavad Gita, he was. You see? So, this can save you. It gives you a way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. Most people, in their critical hour, they do things that they regret later on, right? Just like you might, some man and his girlfriend They were in the neighborhood of a riot in Portland. They didn't go to see the riot. You know, there was protests that turned into a riot. There was a lot of beatings taking place and burning and so forth. But they saw some people harassing a woman. Those people were harassing her because she was not part of their group, and they thought she was part of another group. They're harassing her, and they're starting to beat on her. So they ran over to stop that. And then then the people that were beating on that woman, they started beating on the people that came to help that woman, right? And eventually, it turned into a terrible beating and stomping, and the man got knocked out completely in serious condition. So here's a situation where, out of nowhere, there's a tragedy, right? Because people have no self-control. They are completely, let's say, out of control. And it happens like, you know, in the way that you can never predict it, that such a thing would happen. Okay, so therefore, the same thing was in Arjuna's case when he saw that his family was on both sides, and he knew that, you know, either one side is going to win and the other side is going to be dead, or the other side is going to win and this side is going to be dead. Either way, he's a loser because he's got loved ones on both sides. So he got confused because of family attachment and because he didn't see how he would be happy whether he won or lost. So those are not considerations if you're dedicated to serving Krishna. But if you have bodily attachment and you're concerned about happiness, right, then you get affected by the situation. You can't function. Okay, so this verse, 12th chapter, verses 12 and 13 and 14, is the type of verse that could save people. If they follow it, they could save them all kinds of problems in life. Hari Bol, thank you.
The one thing is just amazing how Maya is so powerful that person. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.